Please turn with me to that reading we had from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's second letter to Timothy chapter 4. And I read verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. My dear friends, this text is brought before our attention this afternoon upon the calling of our brother to this holy, high, and hard ministry. It is hard, it is holy, but it is also a high calling. But it is brought to our attention also for our support, that each one of us will intercede for him, pray for him, be present with him whenever possible, as the Lord only can give him that great instrumentality. So we pray that the Lord will use our brother to his glory, but also to the salvation of many souls. But this is the last chapter in Paul's life. It is really his last words, and everyone will agree that the last words of an apostle are so important. But it is the last chapter of his ministry. But his last appeal, the last appeal of Paul to every pastor, to every minister, but let's say to every believer, and as I shall try to prove that as we proceed. And it is an important text. It is easily divided. The chapter is easily divided, dissected into three parts. From verse 1 to 5, Paul speaks about the proclaiming of the faith. We are called to proclaim the faith. And verse 6 to verse 15, it's about persevering in the faith, the perseverance in the faith. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, he shall be saved. And the third part, from verse 16 to the end, it's about defending the faith. So proclaim the faith. Faith perseveres, but also we are called to contend for the faith. Now, this is, we can spend really a lot of time on almost every word, almost every verse. But my dear friends, I want to draw your attention on some of the exhortations. It is a wealth, it is a gold mine of exhortations given to us by the Apostle Paul in this short pericope. I'm just using the first section, which is about proclaiming the faith, to put before you the different exhortations, so many exhortations. And just a glance, I'm sure even while you are reading the text, just a glance of it tells you there are 10 imperatives from verse 1 to 5. And those 10 imperatives are great exhortations, but they are all governed actually by one phrase, just one phrase. And that phrase, you can see it there in verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. And this is also Paul's fourth charge to Timothy. And if I may just give you a quick glance on each one of them, just mentioning them, there are four great charges given to the apostle, to his protege, to his associate, to this pastor. And the first one in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. The next one in chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. The third one in chapter 6 and verse 13. Oh, this is a great charge, but also combined with a great doxology about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 of chapter 6, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, and so on. The great doxology in verse 16, who only hath immortality. The God we believe in, the God we worship. Oh, my dear friends, we come to chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, where you find the fourth charge given by Paul to Timothy. So I want just to draw your attention on some of those exhortations. As I said, there are 10 imperatives, but don't worry, we will not give you 10 headings or 10 points. But the first thing I would like to put before you, look at the connecting word. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul says there, I charge thee therefore. Why the therefore? Because Paul just spoke about the doctrine of the inspiration of scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable of doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The doctrine, God-breathed word. That's the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. God's word, the God's mind in print. Please, when you read the Bible, remember, this is not man-made book. Man could have never written such an amazing and inspired word. It must be from God. It must be from God. And now, the next thing I want to put before you is Paul's mandate to Timothy. Look at it in verse 1 again. I charge thee, therefore. That's the first imperative, really. The first one. The Greek word is really to adjure. And it means what? The word I charge means a military command. It is a court order, really. It is a legal oath. That's how you have to look at it. But my dear friends, remember, this order doesn't come from an earthly court. It comes from the divine, the godly, the heavenly court. It comes from God himself. So when Paul says, I charge thee, he's not just speaking about from his own temper or his own impulse. It comes from the living God. It is inspired as if it was God himself speaking. I charge thee. Before God. And there you can see, you remember when Moses spoke to the people in the Old Testament, he will call heaven and earth against them. But you see here, it's not about heaven and earth. Paul puts before Timothy a fivefold witness, and it starts with God. I charge thee therefore before God. The first thing is God. Oh, my dear friend, God must come first. That's the meaning and the purpose and the heart of every ministry. That's the existence of the church. Without God, there is no life. Without God, we are just here in vain. It is useless. It is unprofitable. But Paul says, before God, in the presence of God, our assignment comes from God, before whom we stand, before whom we sit, but before whom also we shall sleep one day. Oh, my dear friends, we do not call ourselves. It is God who calls us, and we do not preach ourselves. Who dares to preach himself when he stands behind the pulpit? This is a solemn pulpit. This is a solemn place. It is not a place where we call ourselves. It is not a place where we preach about ourselves. But look at the second witness here. Not only God, but I charge thee before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus Christ, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My dear friends, do you see how Paul is putting the Lord Jesus Christ on equal footing, on equal foot with God himself? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? Just a prophet, just a messenger, just a good man, just a good teacher? No, the Lord Jesus Christ. So every preacher, every believer should remember that when we speak about Christ, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, equal to God, of the same nature, of the same essence, with every attribute that you can speak about God can be attributed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. Every pastor, every believer, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, every pastor is in the Lord's hand. But remember, the Lord will hold every preacher accountable. That's why James chapter 3 says, do not be many to teach. We shall be judged more severely, because it is a high calling. But the third witness, look at it. Paul says, who shall judge the quick and the dead? Literally, in the Greek text, it says, who is about to judge very soon. He is about to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, my dear friends, you like it or not, very soon there will be that final day. There will be that universal day when the dead and the living shall be gathered together in the biggest stadium which has ever existed on this earth. And there will be not only a day of reckoning, but there will be also a day of separation. And on that day, the sheep will be separated from the goats. But fourthly, look how Paul puts it. Oh, the witnesses. He couldn't bring heaven and earth, but he is bringing God himself before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ. But also because of that great day of judgment. And the fourth thing, Christ will return. Every one of us should remember that very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Come back, Lord, should be the prayer. If we are not praying for revivals, my dear brothers and sisters, every prayer should end with, come back, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. That should be the cry, really, of all our prayers, with revival, saving souls. But the fifth one, Paul says about his kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a fivefold witness is before us, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we do it against that day when Christ shall return and all hearts will be revealed. My dear friends, in the light of these fivefold witnesses, what are we to do? Remember, he's speaking to all of us. You can see it in the King James. It helps us. The word thee there is in italics. Meaning what? I charge everyone. Everyone. Every believer. Oh yes, we may apply it first to ministers, to pastors, to preachers. But the charge is to all believers. What are we to do in the Church of Jesus Christ? Look at the next command given to us. preach the word. Preach the word. It is only, and it will only be superfluous from me to say this is the crying need of the hour. Preach the word. And everyone will tell you that the word preach there means herald, proclaim, declare, announce. My dear friends, may I say something? I know it's a digression, but the text doesn't say share. Share the word. Discuss the word. Dialogue the word. Innovate the word. Update the word. Whisper the word. Murmur the word. No, preach the word. That's what he says. I have never met a church built by dialogue. I have never met a church or somebody saved and truly saved by dialogue. The Sermon on the Mount preached by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 was not the sermon on dialogue. When you read the Old Testament, Moses preaching to the people, it was not about, oh, let's share the word, let's discuss the word. Let's update the word. Preaching is at the heart of our calling, my dear brothers and sisters, in a world, and you will agree with me, in a world which says that, please don't preach to me. But preach the word. That's the first thing you can see there. Preach the word. Preaching is contrary to popular opinion. Every believer should support the ministry of preaching. Every believer. Are you a believer in a small church, in a big church? Preaching deserves to be supported by all of us. Oh, may I say something to you? Do you know that if you put together all the church father sermons, the reformer sermons, the Puritan sermons, the 63 volumes of Spurgeon sermons, you come to everyone else, you put everything, good sermons, bad sermons, the junk which is available, you put it together and make it in one book if it's possible, it will never replace the importance of hearing the regular preaching of the Word of God in a local church. Yes, we have the webcast. We have a live webcast and so on. But nothing can replace the hearing. It is there the Lord says, sends his blessings. Oh, my dear friends, it is important. Preach the word, Paul says. Paul says to Timothy, declare all the counsel of God. Do you know what preaching should be all about? Oh, again, I'm sure you know, you heard me saying this in my simple mind. Here is what should be the content of every sermon according to this context. You know what should be in a sermon? Paul starts first with God. That's what he said in the verse. And second, the Lord Jesus Christ. The third, there is a judgment to come. The fourth, here you can see it, he said, Christ is coming back. And he's coming back, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, then comes the judgment. Christ is coming back. And the 15th, each time we declare the gospel, each time we speak about the word of God, we should remember the people that we are for the advance of the kingdom of God. So five things really, which should be the content of preaching. Oh, my dear friends, preaching is never easy. Preaching is never easy. I know some pastors do it effortless, but if only you know what is happening behind the scene. May I say to you that every sermon preached by a pastor, an honest and faithful, sound pastor, is like he has run the marathon. So if you preach two sermons on a Sunday, you are the best athlete, spiritual athlete. You have run the marathon twice in a week. Thrice sometimes, four times. It's never easy. Even with all the knowledge we have, with all the tools that are available, with all the commentaries that are available, preaching is never easy. But why am I telling you this? It is not easy, but it is the only form of communication ordained by God by which His kingdom will be advanced. So it's not a matter of eloquence. It's not a matter of oratory. It's not a matter of knowledge. It is a matter of the anointing and the blessing from God as we preach His word. Oh, my dear friends, unfortunately, our hearts should be broken. So many churches have given up substituting preaching with what? Gimmicks. With fun. With entertainment. With music. With PowerPoints. I'm saddened when I go to a church, I see a pastor with a computer, and we look at the wall. We don't want to look at the wall. We want to look at the Bible. Preach, that's the first thing Paul says to Timothy. The next thing, you see it in the verse, as I told you, all the exhortations here are governed by that expression, that phrase, preach the word. The next thing is the word. The word. Not my word. It says, preach the word. It doesn't say, preach about the word. But preach the word. Or may I, you can edit it for yourself. It doesn't even say preach from the word, but preach the word. You see the difference? And that's why the Holy Spirit works only through the word, by the word. And the Holy Spirit is using the word of God to sanctify, to convert, and to help us in our Christian walk. That's why. Preach the word, not philosophy, not your opinions, not sociology, not psychology, nothing as such. Preach the word. The church is governed by the word, not by opinion. So important. We don't invent the message. God is good. I hope everyone can say that. God is good. He gave us the matter. We only pass on the food, the meal that the heavenly chef has already cooked and inspired. If you have ever listened to me, I often say, I don't invent anything. It's all in front of you in the Word of God. If somebody said something that has never been said or you have never heard, run away from him. Because we are only telling you what the heavenly chef, no ingredients. You don't put your salt or pepper into it. It comes as God has given it. We only explain it. That's why we are not looking to be exciting. We are not looking to be smooth talkers. We are not looking to be funny. We are not looking to be anecdotic. We are not looking to entertain people. The world gives all those things already. Keep the world there. Let it be there. Churches are everything driven, program driven, consumerism driven, purpose driven. But without the word, the preacher is useless. Without the word, the church is not the church anymore. Preaching is to be out of the text and be accurate. Explanation and application must crown the exposition of the word. My dear friends, can I make an application here? Preach the word means that every believer should be in to hear the word. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. Not forsaking the gathering of our assembly. Not forsaking. Because the preaching is the way, the ordained way of communication. I want to be there. I want to be there from the beginning of the service. When the first hymn, God is lifted up, I want to be a part of it. And I want to hear the word of God as it is being preached. And I met many people who are watching on the webcast, but when they come into the gathering of the people, they say, it is completely different. Why? Because I want to be in the midst of the Lord's people. Psalm 133, the gathering of the people of God. There, the Lord sends the blessing. So we gather together to hear the word of God. Come to preaching. Invite sinners to hear the preaching. Be a doer of the word. My dear friends, please pray for Oliver. Pray for the preaching of the word week after week. Oh, pray for the preaching and those who hear the word of God. We know from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing. Not by fun, not by being anecdotic, not by entertaining, not by music, but faith comes by hearing the word. The word preached converts and sanctifies the soul. Faith is nourished and maintained by the hearing of the word of God. But look at the text. The next one, Paul will say to Timothy, be instant. Be instant. And actually the Greek is about, be about it. Be about it. Stand with it. It is urgent. Be absorbed by it. Be obsessed by it. Be dedicated to it. Consistent and persevering to it. That's the meaning really. In season and out of season. This is like a paradox, you know. In season and out of season. Oh, many times it is out of season. Especially in our days, preaching is out of season. But what do Paul says? Preach to them, even when they don't want to hear it. Oh, preach also the word, even when you don't feel like it. As I said earlier, preaching is never easy. It is hard. It is hard. In good and inconvenient times, you know why we have to be instant about it? Because Satan and sin are never out of duty. Never. Preach even when times are hard. Preaching is out of season in our time when people prefer fun than sound doctrine, hygienic doctrine. They want fads. They want faffs. They want flatteries. They want platitudes. They want big words, philosophical words, which do not nourish the soul. We all have itching ears. You know that. It's here in verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Please, my dear friends, Paul is not speaking about non-believers here. He's speaking about the church. The time will come when people will have itching in their hearing organ. So it's passive and active in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, from the doctrine, and shall be turned unto fables. Preach the word urgently with the same diligence to a small congregation, to a big congregation. You know, some preachers, they say, when it's a small congregation, I don't need to prepare. Oh, better resign. Better resign. It is harder when you preach to a smaller one. It is harder when you preach to a big one. Nothing is easy. To teach Sunday school, don't take it lightly. Because one soul, the life of one soul is in your hand. You cannot take it lightly. Be prepared. Be diligent about it. Oh, my dear friends, before I close, look at God's methodology. Look at God's pedagogy. God gives us. God is good. He doesn't leave us to ourselves to invent things. And the next thing, Paul is given three verbs, three imperatives as verbs. They are together there. You can see them in verse 5. I beg your pardon, in verse 2 again. Back to verse 2. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Those are three words from the methodology of God himself. If you like, if there is a preacher here who likes his fun, he delights in exercising and doing these three words, oh, please allow me to say, better resign, because it's never easy. It's never with delight. Reprove means convict. Rebuke means correct error and wrong behavior. Exhort means comfort. So we have to apply the word to all pastorally, with grace, not by temper. Most people today, as you know, they want only a motivational ministry. They come to church to be happy. Oh, my dear friends, please, tomorrow, don't come to church to be happy. Come because you want to be godly. That's the difference. It's not all about me, my needs, everything about what I can get from the church. What about holiness? What about service? What about worship? What about loving one another as the Lord Jesus Christ loved us? It is a sign of conversion. Oh, my dear friends, most people today, they like a feeling happy ministry. Feeling good. That's all what they are about. And they don't want any form of confrontation. I have been preaching the gospel for 30 years now in my short life. But I can tell you, people, especially in the West, it is even harder. People do not accept any form of confrontation. But you see what Paul is saying? Reprove. Rebuke. It's never easy. And we have to do it with grace. We preach to all, but we preach to you individually. We preach to people individually, one by one, in their needs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then Paul says, watch, verse 5, but watch thou in all things. Watch thou. The word watch there is actually the word which means be sober. Be sober. Be serious. Be self-controlled. That's the meaning of the word watch, nepho. And it means be balanced. You are in a war. Never switch off your mind. Be engaged at all times. That's the preacher's duty, to be engaged at all times. And the preacher needs clarity of mind and sound judgment. My dear friends, no matter how the congregation is small, it will keep you busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No matter how small it is. There is so much to do in every given church. And as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto the world. Take heed unto the souls of believers in the local church. But then Paul says, endure affliction. You have to have tough skin, because the preacher will always be a target. As you preach, as you reprove, as you rebuke, you will face opposition. You know, some preachers, they don't accept any confrontation also. But you will face opposition. Suffer, you will. Pain, you will feel. Because you are in a spiritual battle. You are put in that spiritual battle by the Lord himself. Please, may I say something from my heart here, coming from a different culture? Don't be a task-oriented pastor. Don't be a reputation-oriented pastor. But don't also be a gain-oriented pastor. And I'm sure if any pastor thinks this will give me better name, I will get a better reputation, I will become rich, I don't know how the prosperity gospel preachers do it. But if that's in the mind of any preacher, better resign. Give up, because you will never become rich. Be rich for spiritual things, not earthly things, which you will leave behind you on this earth. But you see, be a people-oriented person. I don't have time to show it to you, but later you can read 2 Timothy chapter 4, the chapter we are covering. Paul is giving to us 17 names of people. What does he tell you? In Romans chapter 16, he gives more than 30 names. In total, Paul has associated with himself more than 100 names. Is this only a task-oriented man? No, he was a people-oriented person also. Please, my dear friends, don't look people as objects. People are souls. Do you really love them? Be a pastor who loves people and leads people. And if you love people, very soon they will know it. Love cannot be hidden. Oh, then Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. That's in verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Do you see? He doesn't say, this is a hobby. But it is a work. Do the work of an evangelist. And that is so important. My dear friends, we don't need in the church CEOs. We don't need managers. We don't need even leaders. What do we need? I need a pastor. I need an evangelist. I need a preacher. This is what I need. But remember, an evangelist is not just somebody who knows how to talk. Talk is cheap. But an evangelist is somebody who is a man of God, a man of faith, a student of the word. He is a man of people who loves people. That's an evangelist. But otherwise, it is just empty talks. So, my dear friends, preach the gospel to all creatures, Paul said. And an evangelist is a man of prayer. Don't starve the people from the gospel. And Paul could say, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. The early church, you can study that in the book of Acts. The early church, the believers went everywhere preaching the word and preaching the gospel. It says verbatim that they were preaching the gospel. So there must be regular preaching of the gospel in a local church. It's not just to feed the sheep. You want to feed also the souls of those who do not belong to the kingdom of God. Speak about Calvary. Speak about sin. Speak about repentance and faith. Speak about godliness. Speak about serving the Lord. We don't come to church to admire anyone. That's idolatry. Speak about holiness. And it is not up to us to produce results at all costs. Pray and work for revival in every meeting. It's very important. Preach every sermon as if this was your last sermon. And preach every sermon as if this sinner who is listening to you will never have another occasion to listen to you again. Preach with boldness. My dear friends, I close one more heading to put before you. But remember, I believe today we need boldness in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm a coward. I need boldness to leave my Christian faith, but to wit, when you meet an atheist and he says to you, there is no God, he scoffs at you, he mocks at you, you need boldness to say to him, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. We need boldness. So that's why, preach the word, be an evangelist, do it with fervor, without favor to anyone. And lastly, Paul says to Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. Full it up. Cover every aspect of it.
Handle it well. Handle it well. Fulfill it well. The preacher should always remember that there is a reward. Every preacher should be able to say every day, we ought to obey God rather than man. Why? Because the reward is great. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? The reward is, well done. Well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master. Oh, that's our greatest expectation and anticipation. Come back, Lord Jesus. Come back, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's close.